Now, Mr. and Mrs. North, brought to you Monday through Friday at this same time. Mr. and Mrs. North, transcribed, starring Richard Denning and Barbara Britton. Listen to Pam and Jerry in Chapter 2 of the mystery, Night Walk.
And if you have some hot coffee, my husband and I will take you home.
Hi. No. I can't go home.
Why not?
Please sit down.
But you can't go back outside dressed the way you are.
Mr. Come back. Please come back.
It started out as such a pleasant evening for Pam and Jerry. And then the woman appeared. Hatless, only a coat over pajamas, walking the deserted rain-swept street in slippered feet. And then, a few moments later, she was gone.
And when I tried to stop her, Jerry, she pulled away from me and ran out.
The woman was gone, and Pam and Jerry had only a dropped postcard as a possible clue to where she had come from.
Come on, darling. We're going over to the address on this card and find out why that woman was so afraid to go home.
A postcard with an address. An apartment whose door stands open.
Hello? Is anybody...
Oh, Jerry, look, on the bed. Darling, she's dead.
Yeah.
Oh, Jerry.
Easy, Pam.
That isn't the same woman, is it?
No.
Well, no wonder the woman Mario was acting so strangely when I said we would take her home. She must have known about this.
Yeah, apparently. Come on, let's find the telephone and call Bill Wagon.
Oh, there's the telephone, Jerry.
Laura? Laura, are you in... Who are you? What are you doing in here?
My name's North. Mr. and Mrs. North.
How did you get in here?
Well, the door was open. We walked in.
Why? What's going on? Where's Laura?
Take a look in the bedroom.
That's Evelyn's room.
Who's Evelyn?
My sister-in-law. Say, what the devil if Evelyn... Evelyn.
She's dead. She was stabbed in the back with a kitchen knife.
Laura.
Huh?
No. No.
Are you Wade Hatton?
Yes.
Laura's your wife?
And you wrote her this postcard from Cleveland?
Where did you get that?
I think we'd better leave the questions to the police.
Call Bill Wagon, Jerry.
Who's Bill Wagon?
A friend of ours on the police force. Lieutenant Wagon. He's in homicide.
Why are you running around dressed like that?
Oh, Frank. Something horrible has happened. Evelyn's dead.
What?
And I killed her.
You?
I must have. I don't remember, but I must have been the one.
Laura, snap out of it. Now. All right, tell me what happened.
I don't remember, Frank.
Well, all you do remember, tell me that.
All I know is that I went to bed about 10 or a little after. Evan was still up reading.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up about 11:15 or 11:20. I got up to get a drink of water. The light in the living room was out, but Evan's door was open and the light was on in her room.
Go on, Laura.
Evan was in bed, and there was a knife. One of the butcher knives in my kitchen. Her back. Well, I just lost my head completely, and I grabbed this coat of Evelyn's and ran out of the apartment.
Where did you go?
I've just been wandering around. I almost got run over down in the village.
Run over?
Yeah, a man and his wife pulled me back on the curb just in time. They took me into a restaurant and wanted to take me home, but I got away from them, and then... Well, then I decided to come here.
Well, thank heavens you did. Now, look, Laura, I know that you'd started walking in your sleep again. Evelyn told me about it at the office just today. She told me that last night she'd seen you hide a knife under the cushions of the sofa.
Last night? Well, why didn't she tell me?
You don't remember doing it?
No. Well, I'm sleepwalking. Never remembers anything they do. Dr. Prescott explained it all to me when I was in the sanitarium. But Evelyn should have told me.
She didn't want to upset you.
Upset me? All Evelyn's ever done since I married Wade has upset me. Frank, was Wade in love with Evelyn?
In love with her? Well, I don't know.
But you must know. You're Wade's partner.
You, Evelyn and Wade were together all day, every day in the office. Well, you must have some idea.
But I don't, Laura. That's the truth.
Evelyn said he was. He said he loved her and wanted to marry her, but that he couldn't leave me until I became better adjusted, more stable.
Now, you didn't believe that, did you?
Oh, what was I supposed to believe? Why did Wade let her move in with us? Why did he run around at the office and at home 24 hours a day if he wasn't in love with her?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe Wade was in love with her. I did know she was in love with him.
They went together before Wade and I were married.
Yes, I know.
And she never forgave me for taking him from her. And she was going to get him back no matter what she had to do. That's the way it was all our lives. With either Evelyn and me. He was selfish, cruel, and grasping. Ever since I can remember, I wanted to see her dead. To kill her, to cut her out of my life. And now I have.
Now, look, Laura. You know that Wade and I are more than business partners. I've been a friend of his for a long time. And I'm your friend. I'll do everything I can to help.
There's nothing anyone can do, Frank. They'll lock me up in a place for the criminally insane. Well, that'll be that.
Now, just a minute, Laura.
Oh,
you can't.
Cool. Oh, but there's one thing I do want.
What's that?
I want to see Wade.
Well, the plane was due in from Cleveland at 10:45.
But he's home by now. He's found Evelyn.
Probably.
Well, then call him, will you, Frank? Tell him I'm here. Tell him I want to talk to him before I go to the police.
Medical examiner's all through, Lieutenant. You can take over in here any time.
Okay, Donahue, be there in a minute. Now go on, Mr. Hatton. You say your wife entered the sanitarium shortly after your marriage?
Do I have to answer these questions now, Lieutenant?
I'm afraid so, Mr. Hatton.
What about Laura? Good Lord, she's wandering around the city somewhere.
We'll find your wife. Now about my question.
Yes, Laura entered the sanitarium about 2 months after we were married.
And the psychiatrist she consulted was a Dr. Prescott?
Charles Prescott. His offices are in the Phillips Building on 57th Street.
Thanks. I want to talk to him.
Mr. Hatton, if Dr. Prescott warned you to get your wife away from her sister, why did you permit Miss Forbes to live here?
Pam, dear, let's leave the questions to Bill, shall we?
Oh, that's okay, dear. As a matter of fact, I was wondering the same thing myself.
Well, what about it, Mr. Hatton?
Well, I thought Laura was all over trouble.
But weren't you rather disturbed when Miss Ford called you in Cleveland this morning and told you about your wife hiding the knife?
Well, of course.
Well, then why didn't you return from Cleveland immediately? Why did you spend the rest of the day there before coming home?
Well, I was there on business that I had to take care of. I couldn't leave.
And you were staying at the King William Hotel?
Yes.
And you arrived at Idlewild tonight at 10:45 and went directly to Dr. Prescott's home?
I've already told you yet.
And you didn't come home first. You weren't in this apartment tonight until you walked in and found Mr. and Mrs. North here.
What's the point of all this, Lieutenant? Do you think I'm lying?
Let me put it this way, Mr. Hatton. I don't think you're being as honest as you could be.
What do you think I have to hide?
You can answer that better than I can, Mr. Hatton. Oh, Pam and Jerry, will you wait until after I've talked to Donahue? There may be some more questions I want to ask you.
Sure, Bill.
Of course.
And you too, Hatton. Donahue.
Oh, yeah, Lieutenant.
Has the Emmy gone?
Yeah, just left. He said to tell you he'll have a preliminary report for you first thing in the morning.
Did you make any guess as to when she died?
Yeah. From the body temperature, figured about 2 hours ago.
That'd make it about 10:30.
Yeah.
No sign of a struggle?
No, not a one, Lieutenant.
Well, that figures. Both the Forbes woman and Mrs. Hatton were asleep, but with one difference. Mrs. Hatton walked and heard. She got up, took a knife from the kitchen, came in here, and then... Well, that's the phone down here.
Yeah.
I'll take that, Hatton. Hello?
Wade.
Oh, this is the police.
Police? Is this Jefferson 84056?
That's right, the Hatton apartment.
Well, what's the police doing there?
I'll answer that when I find out who's asking the question.
Oh, well, this is Wade's business partner, Frank Bates.
Well, this is Lieutenant Wagon of Homicide.
Homicide?
Wade Hatton's sister-in-law was stabbed to death tonight.
What?
I want to talk to you sooner or later, Mr. Bates, and I'd appreciate it if you get over here as quickly as possible.
Well, of course, Lieutenant, right away. Is Wade there?
Yes.
Could I talk to him a moment?
Well, yes, I guess so. Hang on a minute. There's Frank Bates, Hatton. He wants to talk to you.
Oh, thank you, Lieutenant.
Hello, Frank.
Look, Wade, I've got something to tell you, and I'm going to talk fast. So you just keep quiet and listen, understand?
Yes.
Laura's here at my place. She's convinced she killed Evelyn, and she's going to give herself up to the police, but she wants to talk to you first. You can come back over here with me after we get through with the police.
All right.
Now, one more thing. About Evelyn's little racket?
No.
Then that isn't what that lieutenant wants to talk to me about.
No.
Okay. Just be sure you keep on keeping your mouth shut about Evelyn, or we're both going to be up to our necks in trouble.
Get that, Donahue.
Yeah, okay, Lieutenant.
Lieutenant Wagon?
No. Lieutenant's in the other room.
I'm Frank Bates.
Oh, come on in. Lieutenant's waiting for you. This is Frank Bates, Lieutenant.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Hello. Come in, Bates. Sit down.
Thank you. How are you doing, Wade?
Okay, Frank.
That's a terrible thing. What exactly happened, anyway?
We'll get around to that in a minute, Bates. Oh, and look, Jerry, why don't you and Pam run along?
All right, if you
don't think you'll be needing us anymore.
No, not tonight. I'll check with you in the morning.
All right, Bill. Good night.
Good night, Pam.
Good night, Mr. Hatton.
Good night.
Jerry, darling, what are you scowling about?
Hmm?
I asked you what you were scowling about.
Well, I was just thinking.
Well, don't make such a production of it. What about?
What about what?
What were you thinking about?
Well, that guy Bates.
Oh, thank heavens, it's Dr. Amy.
Yeah.
What about?
Hmm?
What were you thinking about, Mr. Bates?
Did you notice that when Wade Hatton was talking to him on the telephone, Hatton didn't say a word about his wife?
Not as you mentioned, he didn't, did he?
No. And when Bates walked into the apartment, he didn't seem to pay any attention to the fact that Laura Hatton wasn't there.
That's right.
He didn't even ask where she was.
Well, you should have said something to Bill.
Maybe so.
Well, should we go back in?
No. I'll talk to Bill in the morning. That'll be time enough.
All right, if you say so.
I want to get home. I'm dead.
So am I.
Hop in.
Jerry, wait.
What's the matter?
That car parked right out of ours.
What about?
It's a green sedan. Darling, that's the car we tried to run down Laura Hatton.
Oh, now, Pam.
Yes, I'm sure of
it. Pam, come back here. Pam. Oh.
Darling, the car's unlocked.
Now, Pam, stop it. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Why?
In the first place, darling, you're not sure the car that almost hit Laura Hatton was trying to run her down.
Well, no, but...
And in the second place, even if it was trying to kill her... Do you have any idea how many green sedans there are in the city of New York?
Just like this one?
Exactly like this one.
Do you?
Thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions.
You're probably right.
Of course I'm right. So even if that green sedan was deliberately trying to kill Laura Hatton, which I don't believe for a minute, the chances of this being the same car are one in a...
Jerry!
What?
This matchbook was lying on the seat.
Let's see. William Hotel, Cleveland, Ohio.
That's where Wade Hatton stayed in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Darling, maybe this isn't the car that almost hit Laura Hatton. And even if it was, maybe the driver wasn't deliberately trying to kill her. But there's one thing sure. If it is the car, and if it did try to run her down, then Wade Hatton tried to murder his own wife.
Starring Richard Denning and Barbara Britton and featuring Francis DeSales comes to you each weekday night, Monday through Friday at the same time. Mr. and Mrs. North is based on the characters originally created by Francis and Richard Lockridge and is written for radio by Ken Field. Music by Del Castillo. Mr. and Mrs. North is a John W. Lupton production. Be sure to join us again tomorrow evening for another exciting chapter in the mystery Night Walk. Art Ballinger speaking. Exciting story here on Mr. and Mrs. North, isn't it? If mystery and adventure are your cup of tea, listen to your FBI in Peace and War and 21st Precinct tomorrow night over most of these stations. The Carnival Act is the name of the FBI story tomorrow night, telling of an ingenious midway dancer who supplements her income with a little blackmail and baits a rural victim in a boomerang adventure. 21st Precinct is a dramatic and absorbing story of what actually happens in the life of a policeman. You'll enjoy both these shows tomorrow night here at the Star's address. Here's Suspense, radio's outstanding theater thrills, Thursday night on the CBS Radio Network.